All right, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to continue kind of on the theme that we started last week. Last week we talked about God needs you. And I want you to understand that I know, and I covered this last week if you weren't here, that God doesn't need anything. We talked about that. As a matter of fact, I put my points, sometimes people kid me because all my points sometimes start with the same letter or something. I do that for you. You understand? I want you to be able to remember the point so you'll remember the truth so your life will be changed. It's truth that sets you free. Last week after the service, we went to dinner or lunch, and there was a couple there, and their son's 6 years old. And he attends, because their father's one of the pastors here, he attends one service in the children's ministry and one service in here, and he takes notes. And so last week I said to him at the restaurant, what were my 3 points? And so he thought for a while, but he got them all. He said, God doesn't need anything. God decided to need you, and have you decided to need God? Now, here's the reason I'm telling you this. If a six-year-old can remember my points, I want you to remember them, all right? So I do it on purpose. So I know that God doesn't need anything, but he decided to need us. Okay, but here's my question for you. Why? Why did he decide to need us? And the reason he did is because of this week's message. The title of this week's message is, God Wants You. God decided to need you because he wants you. And I'm going to give you 3 reasons why I know God wants you, all right? Here's the first reason. Number one, he created you in his image. He created you in his image. Now, each of these sentences, of each of these points, has a main body to it and then a prepositional phrase. In other words, there's a subject, a verb. Don't tune me out. This will be a very short grammar lesson. There's a subject, a verb, and an object. God's the subject. He's the one doing it. And he created. That's the verb. That's the action. And he created you. You're the object of what he created. Now, God created you in his image. In his image is a prepositional phrase, and that adds to the sentence. But we're going to leave that off for a minute. Here's how I know God wants you. He created you. Right there. That right there proves that God wants us because he didn't have to create us. God did not have to create us. And even though God created us for fellowship, you need to understand something. He did not need our fellowship. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had perfect fellowship before we ever came along. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had perfect unity before we ever came along. They had never even had a spat, never an argument, never a difference of opinion. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had perfect fellowship for hundreds of millions of billions of gazillions of years before we ever came along. So they didn't need us. So why did God create us? He wanted us. I'm proving to you, God wants you. He would not have created you had he not wanted you. But he goes a step further. He created you in his image. Now look at Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us. Now a lot of people miss the us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, plural, according to our likeness, and let them, also plural, male and female, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man, or mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God created us in his image. He did not create anything else in his image. There's no tree in the image of God. There is no cow in the image of God. There is no mountain in the image of God. There's no river in the image of God. And I'm going to tell you something that might surprise you. The angels are not even created in the image of God. Amen. We're the only ones created in his image. That's how much he loves us. So how do I know God wants me? Well, he created me in his image. Now, let's look a little further. Look at Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to begin with the scripture we read last week, Genesis 2, verse 19. Genesis 2, 19. This is when Adam's naming the animals. out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But, now this is very strange. We want to notice this. But, Adam gave names, but, for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him, or that could read, a companion like him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Now there is something interesting here. It uses the word that God made or formed a woman. And he also formed man. But there are two different Hebrew words there. The Hebrew word when God formed man out of the dust of the ground, that Hebrew word actually means squeezed. In other words, when God formed man, he reached down, grabbed some dirt, squeezed it, blew in it, and that was man. But the Hebrew word for when he made woman is fashioned. Now, personally, I'm glad that he fashioned them. He did a good job on that. Men, he just squeezed. And some of us are beginning to come unsqueezed. But he fashioned woman. Now, you have to think about this. Adam is naming the animals, and he gets to the end, and he goes to sleep. And I told you last week, I think that he named the birds last. Remember? Because he started getting tired. Bluebird. Blackbird. It doesn't take a lot of creativity to come up with those names. So these are the last three animals he names. Bluebird, blackbird, redbird. Those are the last three, okay? And then he goes to sleep. Now I want you to think about this. This phrase blows me away. It says that he was naming the animals, but for Adam, there was not found a companion. Why did he even have to tell me that? Was he looking? But, he was naming the animals, but he didn't find a friend. Was he looking for a friend among the animals? I've always wondered, how did this conversation go down? Did Adam go to God and say, "I'm lonely"? And did God say to Adam, "Well, why don't you see if you like any of the animals?" And while you're looking for a companion, a friend, give them names, too, because I was on this six-day schedule and didn't have time, and so if you could name them, that would help. But for Adam, there was not found. He was looking. He was looking for a friend. I don't know if God said, "Hey, you may like one of the animals. I don't know. You might like the dog. You probably won't like the cat." Because you're a man. I made the cat for someone else. You'll find out about later. But so he's looking. Now think about this. He is looking for a companion. But for Adam, he didn't find a friend. So he's looking. He's looking at the cat. He's looking at the lion. He's looking at the hippopotamus. He's looking at the horse. He's looking and he goes to sleep. And he wakes up. And there's this new animal there. And he says, "Whoa, man." That's how she got her name, in case you don't know. That's a deep theological truth they teach you in seminary. "Whoa, man. Wow. She looks like me." That's what he said. "She's bone of my bone, flesh of my bone. She looks like me. The rest of them didn't look like me. She looks like me. She is," listen to this, "she's in my image." It's like looking in the mirror. She looks like me. I like this person. I like this. Now, how did God know that Eve would satisfy the desire Adam had in his heart? I mean, think about this. Why did God make him a woman? Why? Well, Adam was lonely. He wanted something to do. Why didn't God make him a football? I mean, like footballs. I got a better one than that. Why didn't God make him a remote control? And a recliner. Men like remote controls and recliners. He could sit right there in the garden, and he'd have been fine, just clicking that button. Why? How did God know that the desire that Adam had in his heart, that the only way to fulfill that desire would be a woman, a bride? Now, I want you to think about this, son. I'm trying to prove to you that God wants you. He wants you. I'm trying to prove that to you. Okay? It's easy to prove it to you. Here's why. Because God made someone that looks just like him. That acts like he acts. That walks like he walks. That talks like he talks. And that thinks like he thinks. Remember, this is before the fall. There's no sin in the world. Adam has no impure motive. God makes someone just like he is, and the one he makes wants something. Are y'all following me? God makes someone that's exactly like he is, and the one he makes wants something. What did he want? He wanted a friend, a companion, a bride. So how do I know God wants you? Because he created someone that looks just like him who wanted someone. Are y'all following me? So I know God wants you because he created you in his image. Here's the second reason I know God wants you. He redeemed you with his blood. He redeemed you with his blood. Now, here's the problem. God creates us in his image, but we fall. We sin. So he redeems us with his blood. He buys us back. The word redeem means to buy back. To buy back. Now, could God have redeemed us any other way? Could he have redeemed us with S&H green stamps? I was trying to see how old some of you were. Because some of you are like, what are green stamps? Green stamps were when I was growing up. That's how old I am. You would get these things at the store, and you would lick them, and they had the best tasting glue. Strongest glue, too. My mother told me, if you will lick stamps for me and put them in this book, and you had to have somewhere between 40 and 50 million books to get a lamp. And she said, if you will lick these stamps and help me and put these in, the people down the street, I remember going down the street and they were using the sponge. And I thought, ooh, that's smart. But our family never could figure that thing out. If you will lick these stamps, when you go to the S&H green stamp, and you remember what the store was called? It was called the Redemption. There's an old person. The Redemption Center. The Redemption Center. When we go there, we will get something for you. There is nothing for little boys at the S&H Green Stamp Redemption Center. It's all a lie to get little boys to lick those stamps. It's the reason I have brain damage today. Could God have redeemed us some other way? Well, let's think about this. He had been forgiving people's sins with the blood of animals for years. Hadn't he? That's the way he did with Adam and Eve. By the way, if you notice, Adam and Eve decided to cover themselves when they sinned. God said, no, I'm going to cleanse you. Amen. There's a difference. Amen. And there's one way that sin is cleansed, and it's by blood. Hallelujah. So God shed the blood of an animal before anyone else did. He knew what he was doing. And God set this up. That's what I want you to understand. Could God have redeemed us with the blood of an animal? Maybe. I don't think so personally. But even at that, I want you to understand, God's the one that set the whole thing up. God, from the beginning, decided the way we were going to be redeemed was by the blood of his own son. He decided that. Hebrews 9:12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, I have a question for you. Did God know when he created you that you were going to sin? Did he? Sure he did. Did he know that it would cost his own blood to be able to redeem you? Okay. Then why did he create you? Because he wanted you. If this doesn't tell you that he wants you, you're missing it. See, He knew when he created you, you were going to fall. And he also knew that it would cost his own blood to get you back. But he still created you. I want you to leave here feeling loved and feeling wanted. Even if you're a person like my father-in-law that sits on the back row and nobody might know your name and you don't want to talk very much and you don't want any attention drawn to you. I'm telling you, there's someone that you've gotten his attention. His name is Jesus. He loves you. And he wants you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Why? Because he created you. And he knew when he created you, you were going to fall. And he knew he would have to spend his own blood to get you back. But he still created you. He chose to redeem you. That's something a lot of people don't understand. They say, well, God just had to redeem me. He didn't have to redeem you. He chose to redeem you. He chose you. Do you remember in school when we were divining up teams and choosing teams? Do you remember that? Playing games or sports or something? Do you remember that? Okay. For most of you, some of you won't relate to this. For most of you, though, what was your one prayer when they were... Yeah. Now, see, some of you athletes have no idea the pain that we went through. Because you always got chosen first. Well, I never got chosen first. I wanted to be the team captain, by the way. I always wanted to choose. And someone said, that's because you wanted to be in charge. Maybe, but it was mainly because I didn't want to be chosen last if I was the team. But I can remember, I vividly remember this one time where it's just me and one other person there. Just me, oh, yeah. Thank you. Me and one other person. And I'm praying, dear God, please, 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 God, please, God, please, God. I'll live for you, God. I promise please, God, don't let me be chosen last. And finally, the person choosing said it like this. All right, we'll take Robert and y'all can have the girl. Thank God for the girl. I wasn't last. Okay, listen to me. That's not the way God chose you. God didn't say one day, all right, I'll redeem them. God chose to redeem you, according to Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world. According to John 15, he chose you and you didn't choose him. And according to 1 John 4, he loved you before you loved him. God chose you first. So, how do I know God wants us? Well, he created us in his image. He redeemed us with his blood. Here's the third reason. He perfected you by his grace. He perfected you by his grace. Now listen to me. Let's think about this line again. Okay. God creates us in his image, but we fall. We sin. So God redeems us with his blood. But listen to me. Here's my problem. I still fall. I still make mistakes. He creates me in his image, but I sin. So he redeems me with his blood, but I still sin. I still make mistakes. So he goes a step further, and he makes me perfect in his sight by his grace. In his sight, I'm perfect. God perfects me. Now, you say, well, you know, Robert, you're using this word perfect. You probably shouldn't use the word perfect. Well, the Bible does. The Bible says that the law, Hebrews says, the law doesn't have the power to make anyone perfect, but the righteousness that comes through faith does. See, the word righteousness means right standing with God. I am in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. And let me take it a step further. I'm in perfect standing with God. Why? Because Jesus was perfect. He lived the perfect life for me because I couldn't live the perfect life. And so because of his perfect life, I am now in perfect standing with God by grace. I am not perfect in my performance. I'm perfect in my position. I'm not perfect in my performance. I'm perfect in my position with God. Look at this verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. This is where we've been brought, the Bible says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. To the spirits of just men made good enough? No, perfect. Let me ask you something. Is God perfect? Okay, then how could you ever have a relationship with him? Unless He perfects you. He makes you perfect by His grace. Your spirit, in your spirit. To the spirits of just men made perfect. See, what's been made perfect is my spirit. Now, I'm three parts. I'm body, soul, and spirit. Now, what I'm going to tell you is going to shock you. I'm just going to shock you. I don't have a perfect body. It's very, very close. But it's not perfect. I don't have a perfect soul. I don't have perfect thoughts. I don't make perfect choices. That's my soul. I don't have a perfect soul. But by the grace of God, I have a perfect spirit. Because He has perfected my spirit. I'm being perfected, Paul says, in my soul, and I will receive a perfect body one day. My father-in-law that passed away this past week had involuntary tremors. He would shake, and he couldn't stop his hands from shaking. He was down at they have a spring where they would get water, and they'd take the bottle water down there and fill it up, and it was great water to drink. It was like having their own bottling thing in their backyard, you know, and they have about 300 acres of land. And he would go down, fill it up, and he was taking one of the granddaughters down there with him one time named Ashley. And they went down there, and he just shakes like that, you know, trying to fill that bottle up. So he said to Ashley, "Why don't you hold the jug under the water?" So she took the jug, and then she said, "Papa, do you want me to shake?" Can I tell you something, though? Papa's not shaking anymore. Because since Monday, he has a perfect body. He has a glorified, resurrected body. He's not coughing anymore. He's not shaking anymore. Why? Because God has perfected his body now. But let me tell you something. Through grace, he's already perfected my spirit. And if you don't understand that, then you'll be too hard on yourself. Most of us are too hard on ourselves. You understand that there's only one reason grace doesn't work? Did you know that? There is a thing that there's something that we can do that grace will not work. There's one way grace doesn't work. You know what it is? When it's not received. It's the only way. Grace works if you receive it. If you don't receive it, it doesn't work. Now listen to me. Most of you here have received grace for salvation. Here's my question. Have you received grace for last week? Do you receive grace when you blow it and yell at your kids? Will you receive grace then? Because that's what grace is for. You're not going to be perfect. And if you try to be perfect, you're never going to get there. I have tried. I'm telling you, there's a thin line between excellence and perfectionism. And I want to do everything I can with excellence. But I have tried. I never preach a perfect sermon. It makes me so mad. I got 4 shots at it every week, and I still don't get it right. And I will get in the car, and I've said this to my wife before. You know, gosh, I forgot that one perfect illustration. If I had just said that here, that would have been a perfect sermon. Finally, my wife said to me one time, "No, it would not have been perfect." Because I could name some other things that you did too. And they come to me every week and say, "Which one do you want on the internet?" And I have such a hard time because I think, well, at the 5 o'clock I didn't say this and I should have. At the 6:30 I said this and I shouldn't have. At the 9:30 I got everything mixed up. And at the 11 o'clock I don't have any idea what I said. Sorry. So I don't know what one to say. Listen to me. Don't get caught in the perfection trap. You know, once we finish this on our house, it'll be perfect. No, it won't be. Because the air conditioner will probably go out. Once I do this, and if I had done that, it would have been perfect. Oh, and don't read that yet. Let me get it back because I got a few more. Listen to me. You don't have to be perfect. That doesn't mean that I don't strive to do better and work on areas of my life. I'm just telling you, I don't have to be perfect. By God's grace, I'm perfect in His sight. So, listen to me. God, in His grace, He created me because He wanted me, but then I fell. So He redeemed me because He wanted me, but I still fall. So He perfected me, so He could have a relationship with me. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? If you're here today and you don't know if you died, you'd go to heaven, or you feel away from God, you've blown it too bad, or you're just not living for God, we want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. I want you to make up your mind. If you're here today and you don't feel like you're right with God, or you know you're not right with God, in a moment we're going to close the service. Please, you are one of the main reasons that we are here today, to help you in your relationship with God. Please make up your mind that when we dismiss the service, there are going to be people here at the front who are leaders here in the church that want to pray with you and care about you. If you're not right with God and you want to get your life right with God, or you just are going through a difficult time, make up your mind when we dismiss the service, you're just going to make your way to the front, to someone here at the front, and pray with us. All right? Please don't go out without being prayed for and ministered to, because we want to pray for you. We want to help you find Jesus. It is the number one thing we do. It's to introduce people to Jesus Christ. And then we want to equip, and we want to train, and we want to mature, and we want to help you in your relationship with Jesus. But if you don't know Jesus, that's what we want to do first. We want to help you find Jesus. So if you're here today and you're not right with God, when we dismiss the service, just make your way to one of the leaders at the front. Let us pray with you. There'll be other people, a lot of people. You won't be the only one. You can just come down and just say, I need to get some things straight in my life, and we want to help you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would cause the truths of this message today to sink deeply into our hearts. And God, we want to tell you thank you that you want us. In Jesus' name, amen.